If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Welcome into a new day on the program. The final day of the work week for a lot of us. Oh, man, what a week it's been, right? It's been so long. Oh, no, wait. It was a shortened week. But that doesn't mean that there's any shortage of things for us to talk about this morning at 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemail on the WBSM app. And it's a little darker this morning than it's been this early. We're starting to see not only earlier sunsets, but later sunrises. We're, you know, about 2 months away from turning back the clocks. So get ready to have your body circadian rhythm all messed up a little bit. But I'm kind of excited for this morning because yesterday the citywide glass was in. And they tinted all the studio windows. They replaced the old tint and they put brand new tint on the studio windows. So hopefully when the sun does come out, it won't be shining directly in my face. I mean, it still will be, but hopefully this will help offset some of it. Because I don't like to pull the shades down. I like to be able to see what's going on there in the outside world. Like to be able to see any of you that drive by and roll by the window and wave. As many of you do. So, as I said, we have a lot of things we're going to talk about this morning. We do have a couple of guests that are going to join us. Later on, very briefly, we're going to be joined by Sandy from Seasons Corner Market. And if you've never been to a Seasons Corner Market, it's probably my favorite convenience store. Because I first went to one in Lakeville when I used to work down the street from it. And I would go there to get a Mary Lou's coffee, even though I worked in a kitchen and we made coffee all day and the coffee where I worked was free. I didn't really love it. And I love Mary Lou's coffee, so I'd stop and get one. Then maybe in the afternoons, if I didn't feel like eating the food we were cooking, I'd get a sandwich. So the Seasons Corner Market is fantastic. But they're doing a very, very special thing to help Boston Children's Hospital. So we're going to find out more about that a little bit later on today. In the 7 o'clock hour, I believe. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Jamie Rubio. She is a historical investigator, author, researcher. She wears a number of different hats. And she's going to join us to talk about Bathsheba Sherman. And if you are not familiar with Bathsheba Sherman, that is the antagonist of the movie The Conjuring. That is the demon, supposedly, the spirit of a witch who became a demon and wreaked havoc on the Perrin family in the movie of The Conjuring. But in real life, Bathsheba Sherman was a woman who lived in Burrville, Rhode Island in the 1800s. And her name has been dragged through the mud because of this movie and because of the story that has been told about the Conjuring House. So much so that her already dilapidated headstone was eventually destroyed by vandals. And Jamie Rubio and others led the charge to replace that headstone. And now Bathsheba has a brand new stone on her grave in Barville. So we're going to talk later on with Jamie and find out the true story of Bathsheba Sherman and how it got so mixed up in the first place. And then the efforts to be able to not only clear her name from these totally baseless accusations, because it's not just saying, oh, Bathsheba Sherman became a demon. She was a witch. She possessed the Perrin family. No, no. They accused her of infanticide, of killing a baby. They said that she hanged herself on the property. I mean, there's so many things that have been proven wrong. And Jamie's one of the ones that did that research. So she'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about the true history of Bathsheba Sherman. And just a little behind-the-scenes info. Jamie and I actually recorded that conversation at 10 o'clock last night because the time difference from where she is and this early morning program didn't work out to have her come on live. So I said, you know what? Well, I'll stay up late after bowling and we'll record it because I want the audience to be able to hear this story. And I can give you a little sneak preview. She does not pull any punches. She does not hold back. So you're going to want to tune in for that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And I'll write up a story later. And with I have photos that were provided to me from a friend of the new headstone. So we'll have all that for you a little bit later on too at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. In the meantime, we have a lot of other things that we can discuss. Of course, we can talk about the latest in the presidential election. We can get ready for the debate that's going to be happening next week, which may be, by the way, the only debate. We can talk about the father of the Georgia school shooter being charged as well. And this is a trend that we have seen in some of these recent situations where the parents are now being held responsible for the teenagers who have access to these weapons. And that's exactly what has happened in the case of Colin Gray, the father of Colt Gray. And Colin Gray acknowledged that he bought the weapon that Colt Gray used. He bought that weapon for him as a Christmas present last year, as a holiday gift. He gave I don't know if he was 13 or 14 in December of last year, but he gave a teenager this weapon because obviously he felt like his son was going to be responsible with it, but he was still too young to own this weapon. And the other part of it, this happened after the situation in which Colt Gray was investigated for allegedly making threats against a middle school online. He was on in a Discord chat. Discord is an online community mostly for gamers and live streamers. And he was in there making comments about shooting up a school. The investigators could not charge him with anything at the time because they couldn't directly trace the Discord account back to him. Even though it was his account, the way that Discord works, there's a lot of things it's designed for some anonymity. So there were things that threw them off to say, well, it could also be this person. It could also be this person. So they were not able to charge him. However, his father was well aware of these, of this investigation. His father told the authorities then that his son was a responsible gun user in their hunting excursions and what have you. The boy told the investigators the same thing. I would never use a weapon irresponsibly. I mean, we said all the right things. But what was the conversation that Colin Gray had with his son when giving him this weapon? Which, you know, naturally, because this is how the, it's always described in the media, is just being described as an AR-15 style weapon. But what were the conversations that he had with his son when he gave him that as a holiday gift? Did he question further what had happened in making that threat? I mean, what is his level of culpability here? I guess that's what we'll find out in the eventual trial. Colt Gray, the shooter, will be in court today. Well, he won't be in court. He'll be appearing virtually from a juvenile detention facility. But now not only is he charged with murder, his father now charged with second-degree murder. So that's something else that we can discuss and keep an eye on through the course of the morning. But there's something I want to let everybody know about off the top here, because it may have an impact on your weekend. It may have an impact on some of your upcoming plans. Certainly if you are attending the Pearl Jam concerts in a couple weeks and you were planning on taking the tea from Braintree or Quincy Adams like I like to do, or if you're going to be heading to Post Malone, if you're going to be one of the lucky winners that wins our Post Malone contest and gets to go to Fenway to see him, you should be aware that service on part of the MBTA's Red Line has now been halted for 24 days for track work. So the section between Braintree, Quincy Adams, those stations, and the UMass JFK station is going to be closed for 24 days. Until September 29th. And the reason why they're doing this is they're going to improve the track so that they can have increased speeds on those trains. And as somebody who takes those trains, I appreciate that. Because it's a long ride from Braintree to JFK UMass. Because they have to go so slow. I always thought it had to do with where they were traveling through. But it's apparently because of the tracks themselves. Back in the, it doesn't say exactly when, but years, decades ago, those trains were able to go a lot faster because the tracks hadn't deteriorated in the situation that they're in now. Now they're forced to go slow. And if you've ever been on that train, you're like, oh, why is this going so slow? Why is it taking so long? Especially if you're coming home from something. All right, we got to JFK UMass. We're almost there. But then it's another half hour. And so this will be a huge improvement when it's over. But it'll be a huge inconvenience if you're planning on using that section of track between now and September 29th. It's interesting, this WCVB article lists that there are over 20 speed restrictions just between those, you know, five or six stops. So this will be a much improved line that will actually allow on these 18 miles of track that's being replaced, they will be able to get to speeds up to 50 miles an hour, which is how the Red Line was originally designed. How does that make an impact going forward? It's going to significantly cut down the amount of time that you spend on that train trying to get into South Station, try to get to Fenway, try to get to Harvard. As you're going to all these places, you've probably thought to yourself, oh, if only we could just get to where I'm trying to get to a little bit faster. You know, if even if I'm just trying to get to Park Street so I can then go to Fenway, like, why does it take so long on this train? I mean, obviously, you're not going to get 50-mile-an-hour speeds on the Green Line. You're not going to get those speeds on the Orange Line, you know, when you're going, because there's so many stops and underground and all that. So, you know, the only place you can really make up that time is getting there from Braintree. And so now you'll be able to see increased speeds there. I'm excited for it. What I'll probably do is I'll probably find a day when I don't really have anything going on, which probably won't be for a while because it's spooky season. And I'll just go take that ride. You know, maybe I'll do Braintree to Fenway. Quincy, I like Quincy Adams better than Braintree. So maybe I'll do Quincy Adams to Fenway and see how long that takes. Or maybe I'll just do a straight Quincy Adams to Harvard, stay on the red line, and see how long that takes. So I have an idea how to better, because I don't even know how to plan anymore. Because I'm usually planning an hour on the train, at least. So pretty exciting stuff, but also that means you won't be able to use that section of the red line for 24 days. So what can you do? Well, they're going to have buses that will pick you up. So you can still park at those stations. So if you're going to go to Pearl Jam, say, or you're going to go to Post Malone or any of the other things that are going on, you're going to go to a Red Sox game for however many of those there's going to be left. You can still park at those stations and then take these buses. And they will bring you to the JFK UMass station and you'll get on there. I don't know, honestly, what kind of public parking they have at JFK UMass. I've only used those parking lots there for things that I've attended at UMass Boston. So covering, they used to hold the Celtic Summer League there. So I used to go every year and cover the Celtic Summer League. We had high school basketball tournaments, state tournament games that were held there. So I don't know if there's any kind of parking facility around there. I don't think there is, but I could be wrong, and things could have changed. I mean, it's been probably 10 years since I've gone there or more. But just be aware that if you do park at Braintree, Quincy Adams, any of those, Quincy Center, all those stops, you're going to have to take a bus. And if you've ever been involved in the MBTA where a section of track is shut down and you're taking a bus to get from one area to another and get back on the train, you know that that can be a real time suck as well. 508-996-0500. Going to take my first break of the morning and we'll be back in just a few moments.
I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this.
And welcome back in. And we will take more of your calls coming up, or start taking your calls, at 508-996-0500. Coming up after the news, we will also take app chat messages, open line voicemails. Don't forget, too, we do have the Post Malone contest going on where you can enter to win a pair of tickets at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But you can also send us an open line voicemail saying why you should win our special pair of turf level tickets to be right there on the field to see Post Malone performing country hits at Fenway Park. And you could be sitting right down there on the field. All the info is at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Thanks to Carol Ann, who informed me there is no parking at JFK UMass. You need to try to find street parking in the residential part and then enter the station through the back way. Well, that sounds like it's going to be a pain. So if you're still planning on trying to take the red line in, you probably are better suited to park at Quincy Adams or park at Braintree and take the bus. Just plan on some extra time because the buses don't come as frequently as the trains do. And you're dealing then with road traffic instead of the open subway. Even though you have those 20 speed restrictions, at least you don't have other vehicles in the way and red lights and all of that. All right, well, it's time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The Georgia school shooter due in court today. An antibody that protects against all strains of COVID. And an A-list actor has a new name. Sort of.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The teenager accused of the deadliest school shooting in Georgia history will make his first court appearance today. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says 14-year-old Colt Gray will appear in Superior Court this morning. Gray is accused of shooting over a dozen people at Appalachie High School in the town of Winder on Wednesday morning, killing four and injuring nine. J.D. Vance calling for tighter school security after the shooting.
I don't like this. I don't like to admit this. I don't like that this is a fact of life. But if you are a psycho and you want to make headlines, you realize that our schools are soft targets. And we have got to bolster security at our schools.
The Republican vice presidential candidate spoke in Arizona on Thursday. Former President Trump is expected to be in a New York City courtroom this morning where he's appealing a $5 million judgment for sexually assaulting E. Jean Carroll in the 1990s. Earlier this year, a jury held Trump liable for assaulting the columnist in the dressing room of a department store and for defamation when he denied her claims. Texas researchers say they've discovered an antibody that would protect against all variants of COVID-19. Tony Waterman with more.
The researchers say they discovered and isolated a neutralizing antibody called SC27 from the blood of a single patient. That antibody attaches to the virus and prevents it from infecting cells in the body. The team was then able to use existing technology to obtain the exact molecular sequence of the antibody, opening the possibility of mass manufacturing for future treatments. One option would be to incorporate the antibody into a universal vaccine. Tony Waterman, Texas.
The frequent flyer programs of the top four U.S. airlines are being investigated for unfair practices. NBC News' Tom Costello has the latest on the Department of Transportation probe.
The probe is focused on airlines that devalue earned reward points, the true hidden value of rewards, extra fees to maintain or redeem rewards, and whether programs reduce competition and choice.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg sent letters to American, Delta, Southwest, and United Airlines ordering them to provide records and submit reports about their reward programs. He said it's an effort to make sure consumers don't face deceptive or anti-competitive practices from the major carriers, but many airlines reserve the right to change the terms and value of accrued points. The Council of Europe is announcing a first-of-its-kind international treaty related to artificial intelligence. The France-based organization said the treaty was signed on Thursday by the U.S., U.K., and European Union. In a statement, the Council said the treaty provides a legal framework covering the entire life cycle of AI symptoms. Systems, rather. And finally, the FDA launching an independent review of toxic metals found in tampons. Tammy Trujillo has the details.
Democratic Senator Patty Murray of Washington State said Thursday that she called for an FDA probe after a recent study showed higher than expected levels of toxic metals in several brands of tampons. The study published last month showed the presence of lead, arsenic, and over a dozen other harmful metals in 14 commonly used tampon brands. The study said the heavy metals likely found their way into the products through the manufacturing process. Heavy metals can cause numerous health issues, including kidney disease and heart disease. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And what about this actor changing his name? Well, that would be Michael Keaton. He's adding his real name to his stage name. Born Michael Douglas, the 73-year-old actor will now go by Michael Keaton Douglas. In an interview with People magazine, he said he wanted to register his real name with the Screen Actors Guild a long time ago, but Michael Douglas was already taken by the son of actor Kirk Douglas. But you might know Michael Keaton better as Beetlejuice, a sequel out today in theaters everywhere.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox hoping to snap that losing streak after five losses in a row. Tonight's series opener with the Chicago White Sox plays out at Fenway Park. First pitch at 7:10, and they're there all weekend. New England Patriots open the regular season Sunday with a visit to the Cincinnati Bengals. That game at 1 o'clock, and you can hear it right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Another sunny day on the South Coast. We're looking at a high of about 78 degrees today. Nice and comfortable, a low of about 60 tonight. Clouds on Saturday, but comfortable temperatures again, a high of 75. And that sun returns on Sunday with temperatures again in the low 70s. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Back in 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails, and the WBSM app. I'm a huge Michael Keaton fan. He's probably one of my favorite actors. So I think that's probably my top two. Michael Keaton, Clint Eastwood. And I love Clint for his stoicism. I love Clint for his ability to play vulnerable when he needs to. I mean, I've never watched a Clint Eastwood movie and didn't enjoy it. Even movies that weren't totally great. And I love him as a director, too. But I watch Michael Keaton movies because you never know what you're going to get with a Michael Keaton performance. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. And in fact, I'm part of a Facebook group called the Unofficial Michael Keaton Academy of Getting Nuts, where they post Michael Keaton memes. But I've been a fan of his going back to Mr. Mom when I was a kid. And he's another actor where I've never been sorry I watched a movie that he was in. And in fact, the story about him wanting to go back to his birth name and incorporate that into his stage name, he wanted to do that for the movie that he directed and starred in recently called Knox Goes Away. But he says he forgot to do it. Which I don't know if that's a pun because it's a movie about a guy with dementia. But if you haven't seen that movie, Knox Goes Away, it's streaming now on Max, on HBO. I recommend watching it. It was a fantastic movie, and he was great in it. He plays a hitman who has to get some business taken care of before this fast-moving dementia completely takes him over. But, again, one of my favorite actors, and a very interesting story behind how he got his name. People thought for years he took his stage name from Diane Keaton. That he heard the name and he said, oh, that sounds good. But he had said for years he just opened up the phone book and randomly found a name that he thought would sound good with Michael. And he even says now, well, I don't remember if that's exactly true or not. But that's why he had to change his name, as Phil told you, because there was already a Michael Douglas. And actually, Michael Keaton got his start. People might not know that he was a stand-up comedian. And there's still some video out there on YouTube of his stand-up act. But he was a stand-up comedian. But before that, one of his first jobs was working as a production assistant on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He's from the Pittsburgh area, and that's where Mr. Rogers filmed that show, and he worked as a production assistant. I believe, if I'm right, one of his jobs was operating the trolley. That might just be urban legend. I don't know. But that's probably why he's a guy who's revered as one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. He spent a lot of time around Fred Rogers, so why wouldn't you be a nice guy? But yes, he is starring in Beetlejuice, which is now out in theaters. And as I said, I'm not really paying attention to what the critics say, although Kevin Carr gave it a pretty decent review. He gave it 3.5 stars out of 5. But all of my friends that have gone and seen it have been saying that it's great. And I gave a lot of thought last night to saying, you know what? I'm going to go to the movies as soon as I get out of bowling. Bowling get out around 9, 9:30 at the latest. I can get over to the movie theater by 10. And I won't get to sleep, my full night's sleep, but I'll see the movie. And then I ended up planning to do this pre-recorded interview that will air a little bit later on about Bathsheba Sherman, so it'll have to wait for the weekend. But I'm very anxious to see this. Still haven't gone to see Deadpool and Wolverine. Still haven't gone to see Twister. Still haven't gone to see any of the summer blockbuster movies. Or any of the horror movies that have come out that I put on my watch list. But I will definitely go to the theater ASAP to see the Beetlejuice sequel. That's three times we are in trouble. 508-996-0500. There's a story that you can check out at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Barry wrote it this for today. And something that I was unaware of. But that Abraham Lincoln spent a night in New Bedford. You can find out more about it by reading the story. I'm not going to give you all the details. But Abraham Lincoln is one of those people where it means something to me when I get to be in a place where I know that he has been. When I was in high school and I got to go to Ford's Theater, you know, they don't have you go up into the box, but you're able to see it. We were seeing a play, a musical. I believe it was Nonsense 2 we saw there. And they have the box. They have the spotlight on the box. But just knowing that I'm in the room. I'm in the room where Abraham Lincoln was shot. Like it meant something. I know somebody that has a top hat that he wore. And to be able to get to touch that, it meant something. And here's, you know, our city. Abraham Lincoln stayed here. So you can read that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But as you know, one of my favorite things to talk about is food. And there's an article on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that is written by our friend Stephen Lenz, who always finds great content. So a little behind-the-scenes info. Stephen is one of our content people in the company. And he works directly with myself and Phil and Michael Rock and everybody in teaching us the best ways to create great local engaging content. So Stephen is one of the best at it. And he always finds things that are worth reading and checking out. So if you see that a story was by Stephen Lenz, you want to give it a read. But he wrote an article, 15 dishes Americans don't make anymore. And I said to myself when I saw this article, well, I've got to bring that to the audience. Because I bet you the audience still makes a lot of these dishes. We had this happen when Barry wrote about Frank's and Beans. Where he wrote about, gee, remember when Saturday night used to be Frank's and Beans night in New England and everybody was responding back? It still is. I still do it every Saturday. I don't even like it, but I keep eating it because that's what my mom always made. That I don't get. The people who say, well, I don't really like liver, but I have it because my mom used to make it. I get the nostalgia value and I get wanting to honor your mom. But if you don't like the liver, you don't have to eat it. You're a grown-up now. You can make your own choices. But these are 15 dishes Americans no longer make. And part of it is we've seen the loss of families sitting down and having dinner together. You know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, people blamed television. They said, well, TV is too distracting, so families don't sit at the table and eat. They grab their food and they go sit in front of the TV and eat. TV dinners became hugely popular for that reason. That's why they were called that. They were made to eat and to cook up and eat in front of the television. But I think nowadays it's less about TV. Because now you could all be sitting at the dinner table together and everybody's on their devices. I think now what it is it's schedules. You know, parents have to work later or maybe have to work a second job. Kids are involved in so many activities or maybe they have a part-time job themselves. There's a lot of homework that kids get. There's a lot of factors that can keep a family of, say, four or five people from being able to sit down and have a meal together. And as such, people are probably cooking something that I'm going to make this, and then I know that, you know, two of us can eat it now, and then the others can eat it whenever they come in. They can just throw it in the microwave and reheat it. And that's kind of led to what some of those meals are. But let me give you the 15 meals that Stephen Lentz says Americans just don't make anymore. One, beef, and these aren't numbered in any order, but beef stroganoff, deviled ham, chicken or turkey tetrazzini, chicken cordon bleu, jello layered salad. I can tell you that I never had anybody in my life make that. Yet I've eaten way too much of it in my life. How does that work? Salisbury steak. Hot roasted beefsteak. Ham with cherries and pineapple. Liver and onions. Ambrosia salad. In fact, the only place I see ambrosia salad anymore is at the Chinese buffet. They have it on the cold section. Chicken divan. Or divan, depending on how your family says it. Tuna casserole. Fondue. Fondue kind of made a comeback for a few years, but nobody really does it anymore. Chicken a la king. Chicken a la king was always one of my favorites. And TV dinners. So how many of those do you still have on a regular basis? I'll be honest with you. I don't make any of those. If I've had any of them, it's probably been I've eaten it in a restaurant or it's been one of those microwaved meals. A lot of those involve pasta, and I don't really eat as much pasta anymore, although I did buy the skinny pasta. I haven't had it yet. Probably going to make it this weekend. But I'm excited to see if that's any good. And it was surprisingly cheap compared to some of those other supposedly healthier pastas that still are high in carbs, so they didn't do me any good. But the skinny pastas, 2 grams of carbs per serving. But a lot of those meals, I would eat any of those except for liver and onions. In fact, a good tuna casserole, fantastic. But those are meals that usually involved some prep time. They're also meals that you could prepare and then save to throw in the oven when you got home from work. You know, make it on Sunday afternoon, put it in the fridge, and then when you come home Monday, toss it in the oven. But now people use that time, instead of doing that, they prepare meals for the whole week. They've got their little buckets laid out, chicken breast, broccoli, maybe some rice in each one. I did that. I was meal prepping for a while, then decided I would stop doing that because I found that I didn't want to eat it again after 3 days. Chicken and broccoli again? No, thanks. But let me know if you're still making those meals. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few.
That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl opposites attract. It's physical. Must try to ignore that it means more than that. Oh, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion?
And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. I remember when that song came out and MTV was still relatively new. And I used to wait to watch that video. I love that video. Love Tina Turner, even as a kid. So there's an app chat message from Gibo in New Bedford who says, why is there a police van present at the writer strike with the lights going? My guess is that they're probably down there just maintaining order. And that's probably all that it is. But if anybody knows anything more than that, if it's anything different, feel free to let me know. You can shoot me an email, tim@wbsm.com, send me an app chat message, or you can call in 508-996-0500. I also got an app chat message from Not Bad in Oak Bluffs, who wants to know if I've tried the celebrity pork chop yet. I have not, because I have not been home to cook anything all this week. I'm hoping next week we'll get a little bit more normal of a schedule. And then after that, actually, I have been home this week, but I've just not cooked. I've just gone to bed early. But I'm hoping that I can do it next week. I have gas in the grill ready to go, ready to toss that celebrity pork chop on there. And I will definitely report back how good it is. Maybe that'll be my day tomorrow. I think tomorrow I'm doing something. Maybe Sunday. Maybe I'll go to Beetlejuice, come home, throw a celebrity pork chop on the grill. That sounds like a fine day. I just won't get any popcorn at the movies because, oh, then I won't eat anything for the rest of the day. And why do I buy the large when I'm never going to finish it all? I know why. Because it's the same price as the small, because I'm a member. But I just end up eating a couple of handfuls and then bring the rest home and say, well, I'll finish that. You can eat popcorn from the movie theater for days. It holds up. But I'm just not going to do it. Last time I went, I didn't even buy popcorn. Tried to get a drink. They were out of Coke products, so I couldn't get any Coke Zero. It's like, just going to start sneaking my own stuff into the movie theater like a normal person. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I'm going to take one more break for this hour, and we'll be back. And welcome back in. So there's going to be some big news coming from the city later on today. I can't say anything yet. The information has been embargoed, but we'll have it for you coming up later on this morning. And I'm excited for it because I think it'll be something that will benefit people across the city. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that later on this morning. We are going to take a break now for the news. When we come back on the other side, we can take your calls. 508.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.